In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this offer. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, our merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. For you are my rock and my fortress.
You
lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Glory be. Glory be to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. Our first reading for this Day of All Saints is found in St. John's Revelation in the 7th chapter. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000. Sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon. 12,000 from the tribe of Levi. 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Our epistle reading is found in the first book of John, in the 3rd chapter. "See what kind of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today is from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 5. Let us pray. O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of our hearts, might be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. Amen. You know, we live in a world of almost constant gratification. You probably all remember that Burger King ad from years ago promising that contrary to some of the fast food competitors, you could have it your way. We not only want our way, we want it right now. Internet too slow? Get high-speed internet. Takes too long to gas up your car, go inside and pay? Well, just pay at the pump. Snail mail really that slow? Just send an email or Facebook or Twitter or X, whatever it is now that's in fad. Fast food not fast enough? Did you check your receipt? It says served in less than 36 seconds. We eat in our cars. We talk in our phone in our cars. I've even seen people eating and talking on their phone while driving down the road. Goodness, some people, it's hard to figure out. We microwave our meals. We order from Prime tonight, and it's delivered in the morning by 5 o'clock sometimes. The one thing we don't have, it seems, is patience. No patience. No desire to look forward to the things that are to come. But here on All Saints Day, I want us to take a moment to do exactly that. Because that's what we confess as Christians. There is an eternal city, a paradise of God, an eternity of rest and being with our Lord. And we don't have it yet. That's what John was talking about in our first reading, but it's coming. Now we walk by faith, not by sight, confessing the eternal joys of the life to come while yet struggling in this sin-filled world of death. One of the struggles we face as Christians in this life is that I run across this time and time again. We think we should have all this peace and rest right now. No waiting, the express lane to utopia. When we're Christians, I've run across those who feel, well, God should bless us and reward us with a lack of problems. Christians should not get sick. Christians shouldn't have trouble paying their bills. Christians shouldn't have problems with their marriages or difficulties raising their children. All of the peace and the joy and the bliss of heaven ought to be ours immediately. Instantly. Right now. But when those things don't happen, when we find ourselves far away from God, when we find ourselves unloving toward our neighbors or filled with unbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice, we wonder what's wrong. We don't feel much like saints, do we? And why? It's because we've let go of Christ's word. And in our unbelief, we have not heard what our Lord has said to us about being saints. Christ's word for us today describes our life of sainthood. He tells us what real life is like as a Christian at the same time. Comforts those who receive his word. Go back to a couple of those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. Now, all of these Beatitudes of our Lord really describe the life of saints in this world. And since we're celebrating All Saints Day, let's be very clear about saints. A saint is a holy person. Those who are in Christ through holy baptism, through being fed by the Lord's Supper, preached the Holy Word by the Holy Spirit through holy ministry, those are saints. You are saints. I am a saint. We're all saints. When we celebrate All Saints Day, we're recognizing that all of us are saints in God's sight through Christ. After all, I mean, it's not how we live that makes us saints. It's how Christ lived for us, died for us, rose for us. Your baptism into Christ makes you a saint. Your eating and drinking the flesh and blood of Christ makes you a saint. Your being absolved of your sins makes you a saint. But saints are poor, mourning, harassed, hungry, struggling people. In this life, that path of sainthood, that is, of being a Christian, is one of hardship and sorrow, and it doesn't bring with it the instant gratification that the world tries to buy and sell to us. Now, let me explain what I mean. Let me take just a couple of these Beatitudes as an example. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are they who mourn. They shall be comforted. If you listen to all of these Beatitudes, you're hearing a description of those who are in Christ. The Beatitudes describe those who have been crushed by God's law over their sins. And they have nothing going for them except Christ and His perfect life, death, and resurrection for them, and His gifts delivered to them in the gospel and the sacraments. The saints described by Christ are poor in spirit. That means they have nothing to bring before God, nothing to show how well off they are. They have a poverty of spirit, empty, nothing. And yet they have Christ. And to such is the kingdom of God, we're told. They mourn over their sins. They're troubled. They're frightened by a lack of faith at times. They're grieved. They're sorrowful because they do not live to serve their neighbors in love as they know they should. That kind of sin causes them to shed tears of repentance. But in that repentance, they are comforted. Not just dried tears, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, comforts them by delivering to them baptism and the Word of God, the body and blood of Jesus. In the Beatitudes, in short, Jesus describes those who are troubled by sins, frightened by death, suffering for His name, and who have nothing in their lives to cling to. Rather, these saints have only Christ and the promise of His future blessings. Now, all this really kind of demolishes the world's and even our own notions about what it means to be a saint. The world sees saints as those who lead some kind of extraordinary life, doing things for others all the time, a life of near perfection and godliness. People who have a lot of faith and can easily talk about God. Saints are in the world of, or in the eyes of the world, are those goody-goody two-shoes kind of people. To the world, saints are those who are pure in heart and do good all the time. The sinful flesh of a Christian kind of grabs hold of this notion of sainthood and applies it to himself. And that's why I see people say, well, I must be a saint because I live a life a lot better than others. Or they go the opposite route. And they say, there's no way I can ever be a saint because I'm just not good enough. There's even a third way. It says, if I just learn to live as Christ describes in the Beatitudes, I'll be a saint and I'm going to have all those blessings. Well, I pray that here right now we would repent of all such notions that sainthood is about us. It's not about us. It's about Christ. and the Christ delivered to us by the gospel and sacraments. After all, who is the one who is truly poor in spirit? Who had a poverty of everything and everybody? Was it not Christ? Who is truly a mourner over sins? One who makes peace, who has mercy on others, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Is that not Christ who has done all these things for us? He who hungered and thirsted to bring righteousness to us by dying for our sins? Indeed, the Beatitudes are not Beatitudes that we try to kind of check off. So then, well, I got this one. I got this blessing of God. Okay, now go on to the next one. These are descriptions of our Savior, which becomes ours through being in Christ, poor in spirit. Thereby, being in Christ through baptism, you are poor in spirit. Christ is pure in heart. In Christ, you are poor in heart. Pure in heart, rather. And so on, for all of those Beatitudes. And that's why he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. You know, people aren't really attacked by the devil, the world, and the flesh for being good. They're attacked for having this righteousness that is not their own, but belongs to Christ. The world cannot abide. It cannot stand those who trust in Christ instead of themselves. Believe it. If you are in Christ, I can guarantee you the world is going to hate you, the devil will target you, and your sinful flesh will give you no rest. And that's why we flee here to the divine service, to worship, to hear God's word, to receive absolution for our sins, to eat and to drink Christ's body and blood, to live in our baptism. The gospel, the sacraments that Christ comes to us are all we have in this world, but it's all we need. You know, there's no guarantee of easiness, comfortableness, no guarantee of riches, fame, and fortune. No. All we have in this life is our Savior. But what else do we need? Last week we talked about one little word can fell Satan. Remember that word, Jesus. That's all we need. The promise of Christ in your baptism is that you have a down payment, a guarantee of the blessings of this world that is to come. Having Christ, you do indeed have everything you need. But some things are not given to you quite yet. Those we also confess in the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Life everlasting. It's coming, but it's not here yet. We know it's ours in Christ through the promises of baptism, through the body and blood of Jesus, but it's not quite now. It's not like the world, which demands everything instantly. That everlasting city of paradise seen by Daniel, seen by St. John, as we heard earlier. When we think of those golden streets, the crystal clear waters, the Lord Himself in His light, this, the saints who have gone before us now enjoy, and we too will one day. For now we live in Christ, poor in spirit, mourning, persecuted, so on. In this life we hold forth Christ as the one who calls us saints, and who goes with us as we walk by faith and not by sight. And then in that life to come, we shall see Him as He is, for we will be like Him. And we shall live forever in a paradise without fear, without darkness, without shame, without sin, death, pain, suffering, or tears. This is the joy of those saints who have gone before us. And this is the hope and the future of all who are called saints today in Christ. So, happy All Saints Day to each and every one of you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O Lord, faithful God, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things into your keeping. Deliver us in your righteousness from all that would harm the body or assault the soul. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, send your Spirit to the ministers of the church who bring the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, that they may work through the preaching of this gospel to gather the lost, kindle the faith in those who do not yet believe, and sustain us all to the day of Christ's coming. Lord, in your mercy, gentle Lord, visit the homes of your people, that they may be places where faith is nurtured and where we learn to live our new lives in holiness and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, blessed are you, O God, and blessed are the persecuted who suffer for your sake and whose witness calls all to faithfulness. Bring peace to the nations, make our leaders wise, just, and honorable, and deliver us from terror, violence, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, comfort us by your abiding presence and satisfy all who call on you in need. Especially do we ask you to care for Pastor Scott and Julie, for Larry, for Robert, for Mary and Alfred, for Jerry and Cynthia, Cassidy and her twins, Raya and Emerson, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, J.D., Briella, for the family of Robert Dittert, who was called to his eternal rest, and also to Shirley and Alan. Grant them patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, be with your church and all her members who belong to you by baptism and faith. At the bidding of the Lamb, our shepherd, give us ears to hear your word and faith to receive him in this blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we may be brought to everlasting life with the faithful who have gone before us and who now rest from their labors. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, we give you thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the book of life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of an eternal inheritance. Though we are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray you to hear us in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom, with whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. we begin the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. By faith, the saints of old held fast to your promise of things hoped for, though not yet seen, leaving an example and encouragement for us who walk now by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink this holy supper of your Son's body and blood, and in the union of his mystical body, the Church, be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, the holy martyrs, and all the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.